Hello there, my name is McNeil and you are listening to the McNeil and Friends podcast. Here I invite different people to talk about movies. We talk about movies that are currently playing in the theaters and topics related to cinema. If you like this type of content, be sure to follow my podcast on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also support my podcast by telling your friends, and if you don't have any, you can tell your family. Thank you for listening. What's up, everybody? Today is my new episode in a series called Journey to Black Widow. What I'm doing is I'm watching one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie a week in chronological order leading up to Black Widow. So if you enjoy Marvel movies and if you enjoy being a geek like me, watch one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie a week and tune into each episode. Today I'm here with my friend Isaac. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. I'm a big Marvel and DC comic fan as well. Enjoy the movies, and me and McNeil have been going to those for several years now. So yeah, excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. So today we are talking about the original Thor film. Now, Isaac is the biggest Thor fan that I know. He's oddly obsessed with Thor.
You got that right.
Yep. And he and I have been friends for nearly a decade now, and for as long as I've known him, he's been a massive Thor fan. Isaac literally has a bumper sticker that takes up a large portion of his truck of Thor. And my first question to you is, why do you like Thor so much?
Yeah, just to clarify, it is only a third of my back window, so it's not that
excessive. That's still a pretty large portion.
I feel like that's a healthy amount of sticker amount.
But it's one sticker.
Okay, that's a fair point. I just grew up being a big superhero fan, and I think I just relate to Thor the most because he, in my opinion, is just the most powerful, and I'm drawn to like being like in power and in control, and to me, he is the leader of the team. They always have to like kind of draw him back because he's just so powerful. Like, just later in the movies, you see like how powerful he truly is. And then like, most importantly, like I just always get told I look like Thor, just physique and general appearance. So yeah, it's just when you get recognized as for...
Yeah, you need to stop right there. That's
okay,
not true.
Okay.
So
it is true, just for the record.
Okay. So that's kind of interesting that you really like Thor for that reason, because generally people... The issue that they have with Thor is that he's overpowered. So it's kind of interesting. You like Thor for the reason people don't like him. You know, I had a friend named Zach who talked about the first Captain America movie with me a few weeks back. And he talked about all the superheroes he liked. And he said that he didn't really like Thor for that reason. He just wanted to give him an uppercut.
I feel like that's a bit aggressive. I guess I can see the reason not to like him. But I don't know. I just think that like a superhero's draw is that he has powers that we don't. And seeing someone that's like relatively normal wouldn't be as enticing as someone that could literally slaughter a whole planet if they wanted to.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But so since you're a huge Thor fan, I'm assuming you like Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fantastic cast.
So what I want to do is talk about some of the people that were almost cast as Thor before Chris Hemsworth got the role. So... Daniel Craig was almost Thor. He was James Bond. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Oh, yeah. Saw him in Skyfall.
Yeah. Channing Tatum, which...
I just associate him with Magic Mike, so yeah, he's just a hard sell for me.
That would be weird. Tom Hiddleston, Loki himself. He was almost Thor. I'm glad that he's Loki, because I think he's awesome as Loki. I think he would have been a horrible Thor. What about you?
I think he's just, like, fits the villain role way more. Maybe that's just me, but I can't see him portraying the role as well as Chris Hemsworth did.
Yeah, definitely. Triple H from WWE. I feel like if the movie was a parody,
that's ridiculous.
If it was like a parody type movie, I think it would have worked. But in like an actual, like a serious movie, no, definitely not. And the person that it came down between, it was Chris Hemsworth and Liam Hemsworth. They were the two people that Marvel was deciding between. And ultimately went to Chris Hemsworth and not Liam, his brother.
I think they made the right choice. I would have chosen who was the first one again?
Say that again.
Who was the first person that wanted to play Thor that you mentioned?
Daniel Craig. I think Daniel Craig was actually their top choice before they got to the two of the Hemsworth brothers.
Yeah, out of all the people you said, I would have picked him second after Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah,
I think that he fits the role, at least in the first two movies, but after it like evolved into what it is, I think it still fits.
Oh, another one was Brad Pitt. That was another one.
I don't like that.
It would have worked maybe in the 90s.
Yeah.
But not in not 2011, now. Brad Pitt would have been, I guess, 45.
Yeah, that's a bit old.
Yeah.
Especially with how much, like, he's on the screen shirtless. That, I don't know if I want to see shirtless Brad Pitt all the time.
Yeah, that, and also, like, he's playing, I mean, obviously Thor is, like, hundreds of years old, you know, because he's a Norse god. But he's also, like, kind of a younger mindset, I guess, and having Brad Pitt, who's 45 at that point in time, playing somebody like that, I don't know, that could have been a little bit weird. But some other people that were almost cast for different characters, like Odin, were Mel Gibson instead of Anthony Hopkins, which would, if it was a different direction for Odin, maybe, but could have been interesting. But the other one was Stan Lee.
I mean, I feel like that would have just been a fan favorite. I don't know how much I really would have liked that.
No. I can only picture Stan Lee up there with sunglasses on.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he
could have just worn one side of it.
Yeah, apparently like an executive producer said Stan Lee always wanted to play Thor, but I think that was more of a joke than anything. Stan Lee was ultimately very happy with Anthony Hopkins as Odin, which I am too. I think Anthony Hopkins is a great actor.
I agree.
Especially in Silence of the Lambs as Hannibal.
Oh, yeah. I think he did a really good job in this movie as well. It just fits his character.
Oh, yeah.
And who he can portray very well.
Definitely. So, speaking of all the people that have played him, let's jump into Chris Hemsworth as Thor. So, you said that you really like Chris Hemsworth as Thor, as do I. I think that Chris Hemsworth really nails the personality of Thor. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that you have to have, like, this kind of bold arrogance with you, and I think Chris Hemsworth really just personifies that. It wasn't a stretch for him to like really let that out of himself. It was more just channeling that aspect of his personality instead of having to develop that as he grew into the character.
I think he's kind of playing himself in a way, kind of like not as intensely as Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, but I think Chris Hemsworth is like loosely playing himself, you know?
Yeah,
like
I definitely agree with that.
I think the humor is natural for him, and I think although this character isn't like, I wouldn't think it's super difficult to play Thor. I think a lot of actors could pull it off. I'm glad Chris Hemsworth does it because it seems really natural for him, you know? Like Thor's personality, he's arrogant. He is like, always acting before he thinks. He's kind of short tempered, kind of dumb, you know?
He displays that very heavily in this movie, that he is very like impulsive.
Yeah, but the only reason he's like I said, kind of dumb is because the plot of this movie is kind of like the fish out of water plot, you know, where it's like he's a Norse god and he's dumped on Earth basically, and he's just kind of treating everything as if he would in Asgard. So it's kind of funny when he's like walking into certain places and he's like, or like at that animal shop, he's like, I need a horse, you know. It's like, he's like, we only sell dogs, cats, and birds. That was like one of my favorite jokes for a long time.
That's a good joke.
What do you think of the humor in the movie?
I think it's definitely like predictable, like you said, like putting someone in an unfamiliar place and just kind of seeing how they go.
Yeah.
Just from the beginning, you can tell that that's the direction they're going to take with it. I liked it, but I prefer the humor in the later movies more than this one.
Yeah.
I like this one. This Thor in this movie gave me more of a like serious vibe. He was very concerned with like Asgard and like being all like mighty and king-like.
Yeah. So you look at Thor and you think he's probably like mid-20s, and that's why I'm saying he's kind of got that more immature side because he's trying to finally become an adult in his dad's eyes, you know? But I think that's where some of the humor in The Fish Out of Water comes, because he's got that mindset throughout the entire movie, and he's trying to show like that he's mighty on Earth, but doesn't understand that what he's doing is not a social norm at all. You know, like with the, I need a horse, or some of the other things he said were like I said, the horse in the pet store. And he smashes that cup and he's like, I want another, you know? So he approaches Earth as if it's Asgard. And that's where some of that fish out of water humor comes in. What do you think about all that?
I definitely agree with that. I would say that like having a love interest in the movie definitely throws a wrench in that whole thing. Cause like normally I feel like girls on Asgard would like swoon over him, But Natalie Portman was like, nah, I'm not feeling this. At first, she was like, nah, this dude's crazy.
But yeah, if anybody thought they were Thor and you live on Earth, you'd be like, no, are you just going to like some cosplay event? You know?
Yeah, true.
But he was, you know, in this movie was actually Thor. So that's what was kind of funny about it. But, you know, speaking of Natalie Portman, I actually thought that their chemistry together was really good. What about you?
I agree. I think that they just work really well as a couple together. They look good together too, which I know is like just aesthetically pleasing. But I kind of was sad that they didn't like play more of a role into that movie and just the rest of the franchise with Thor as well, just because the chemistry that they did have was like really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, she was in the first Thor. She was in Thor The Dark World, but she wasn't in Ragnarok. But she is coming. I don't know if you know this, but she's coming back for Thor Love and Thunder, Thor movie.
I guess that makes sense.
She's going to be the new Thor.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because she is in a comic, so she eventually picks up the hammer, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that.
So I'm curious to see, like, what direction they go with that. But, I mean, I like Thor Ragnarok. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I thought it was a little too funny, like, too goofy, too lighthearted. So I don't know if Thor Love and Thunder is going to be the same way, you know.
I have a feeling it's going to be, because the humor, in my opinion, is what sells Thor the most to like the changing and progressing culture around superhero movies.
Yeah.
That's why superheroes like Spider-Man are starting to become like more prevalent, because they're funny and they're like entertaining to watch.
Yeah. And Marvel knows that their audience really likes the humor. And just for me, like, I like humor in movies and superhero movies, but I have a harder time buying into like the comedy in certain movies like Thor Ragnarok, where it's just all over the place, especially for a movie that was supposed to, like, a storyline that's supposed to be really dark, you know?
I agree. I think it would kind of be a disjustice to Thor at this point for this fourth movie to not have a sadder tone, because he's lost his whole world. Like, his sister's gone. His entire family's gone. He saw Loki murdered, like, right in front of him. Hopefully that's not a spoiler for any of your viewers, but...
No, we've... On all these episodes, we've talked about Endgame a lot. So, Everybody knows Iron Man died.
such a sad event.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with everything that he's been through, to have it be as humorous would just be like wrong. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. It would just be to sell. It wouldn't be to be true to the character.
Yeah, I kind of hope they take it back to a darker tone, because personally, like, my favorite of the Thor movies is the first one. I know the general, like, the popular opinion is that Thor Ragnarok is the best, and I totally understand why anybody would think that. That's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that, but I personally like the direction they took the first Thor better, but that's just my opinion, you know.
Yeah, I like this one much better than The Dark World.
I don't really like The Dark World all that much.
It's not the best one.
Yeah, I think they try to go, like, I like the darker tones, but I think that they tried to take it in a darker route, and I don't have a problem with that. Like, I was fine with it. It just didn't fit the entire universe, you know.
I agree. It didn't really, like, it just seemed like they were forcing it in because they needed to introduce the ether, the next Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, at that point, just bring it in.
Yeah. And I mean, really, if you look at this Thor trilogy, if you will, like, they're all just tonally different. That was one of the things I really wanted to touch on, was how different each movie is. You got the first Thor movie, it's got the fish out of water humor, but it has a more serious tone. Thor The Dark World, they wanted to go more serious and more dark. And then right after that, they jump to Ragnarok, and it's like super colorful and super funny and goofy. But the story from the comics is supposed to be pretty dark. Like, it's the Asgardian apocalypse, and they're cracking jokes the whole time, which isn't a terrible idea. I really liked Thor Ragnarok when I first saw it a lot. It was like one of my favorites instantly. But each time I've seen it, I've liked it less and less, just because I realize how they rely too much on humor. It's like they can't figure out exactly which direction they want to take the Thor movie, because they got all three dramatically different movies, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I enjoyed the humor, definitely, just because I like funny movies a lot. Like,
yeah.
But I now rewatching this and like realizing more of who Thor's character is, it does make me like that movie less, although it has been like one of my favorite Marvel movies up to this point.
Yeah, there are definitely like one-liners that I like all throughout these Thor movies, you know, like we talked about the horse, the cup smash. I don't know if you picked up on this one, but it's towards the end. It's like right where he finally is able to pick the hammer up again. And he's like, he's talking to Phil Coulson, and he's like, "Listen, son of Cole." He says it really quick, and I never caught that till last night. And I was like, "That's pretty cool," because you know he's you know he's like son of Odin, so anything that's like got the word son in it, he's like, "Oh, so you're son of Cole." You know, I thought that was pretty great. I mean, Ragnarok's got a lot, especially when Korg comes in. I like Korg.
Korg is a really, really good character. I'm glad he didn't die.
Yeah. But then if you look at Thor and kind of like the Avengers movies, the tone kind of picks up right where it left off in the first Avengers. Like Thor transitioning into the Avengers felt natural. Thor transitioning to Age of Ultron felt natural. But Thor from Ragnarok going to Infinity War was like totally different. And it makes sense where Ragnarok left off. But I feel like if Ragnarok was darker, it would have felt more natural.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that they're kind of getting back to more who he like should be as a character.
Yeah.
At least in terms of like the beginning of Endgame, because he was just came out no mercy, just chopped Thanos' head off. Like that's the Thor.
That was
like,
awesome.
That was dope. That's one of the best movies.
But then we got Fat Thor.
Fat Thor, I'm not a fan. Yeah. You know how mad that made me when that I saw was the
my,
movie.
I don't have any problems with Endgame except that. That's my only. It's like. I felt like every time any character was on screen, it all made sense. The tone was consistent all throughout. Then they switched to Thor, and it was like a completely different movie, you know? So, I don't know. It was too silly, I thought.
I have, like, two reasons why I think they did that. The first is obviously just to continue to have him be the comic relief, which I don't, like, there's so many other people that could be the comic relief in that movie because you have literally all the superheroes. Thor be the serious one. And then my second is that, like, without that nerf, like, he still would have been, like, incredibly powerful. Coming off of his scene in Infinity War where he literally just, like, came out of the sky and, like, just started wrecking all of those people.
I love that scene.
It's amazing. But it just shows you how powerful he is. I feel like he, like, definitely could have been way more powerful had he not, like, been nerfed in that way.
In Endgame?
Yeah, when he was fat.
Yeah, it's like you said, you know, in the first part of Endgame, he cuts Thanos' head off. And then it's next time we see him, he's fat. And the only time we really see him become Thor again is when they face Thanos at the end. But it's still like, he's still got that gut jiggling, you know?
Yeah, it's just not what you want to see.
The beard, like the braided beard and the hair, everything, it was all super cool.
That was sick.
And him and Captain America, you know, flipping the hammers back and forth was super cool. But everything up until then was just kind of like, I want real Thor. Give me real Thor, you know?
I agree.
So I hope that they, I don't know, there's a big fan theory about they might still keep him fat in Thor Love and Thunder, which I'm like, this is not me saying like, I don't like fat people or something like that. I'm just saying that for the character, it was like, you had a lot of directions you could have taken it and still had some humor, but this just didn't entirely work for the movie, you know?
I agree. I think that they need to just make him ripped again this movie. I know that's very like aggressive, but if he's not, like, I'm going to be.
Yeah. He doesn't need to be. It's Thor. Like, it's like he's supposed to be, you know, like yoked. You know, and in this movie, he was the opposite or in Endgame.
He looked like a melted ice cream cone.
Exactly. It was like. That was what Rocket Raccoon said that, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that was funny. But, I mean, Thor is supposed to be, you know, somewhat of a funny character, but he's not supposed to be the funny character. You know what I mean? Everybody's got their, you know, little quirks. Thor's aren't just, from what I understand, he's not supposed to be like the funny guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It seems like they were really trying to make him fit in with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd be fine with that if that's the direction they went. That would make more sense. But I just kind of want to get back to the Thor that we got in the first Thor movie, you know?
I would agree with that. I think that's appropriate for the direction that they took it.
Yeah. So jumping back into the first Thor movie, because we've gone on a little rant here, it's not a big deal. What's like something you really like about the first Thor movie aside from the tone?
I really liked like the ice people. As a whole, I just thought that they were a good match for Thor in his first movie. It wasn't too overpowered, and it didn't need like an incredible amount of backstory.
Yeah.
So I just thought that it was like an easy way to introduce him into the universe.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, it also kind of sets up Loki's character as well. You kind of get to understand why he's got this mind switch, or not mind switch, but like this change in mind you know, throughout all these movies, and why he's so back and forth with every decision he makes is kind of comes down to like his, you know, where he came from, which was the Frost Giants. They're called the Frost Giants, right?
Yeah, the Frost Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of it's an interesting thing. I really like the mythology behind the movie, you know, the Norse mythology, being in Asgard, learning the history of, you know, the Frost Giants and everything. Yeah, I always think it's a lot of fun. What about you?
I really enjoy the mythology aspect of this movie. And just like mentioning Loki, I thought like his character arc in this entire franchise, specifically with this movie and like showing his development, is incredible.
Yeah,
like, I think seeing where he went and like where he started from, they've just done such a good job developing his character.
Yeah, I think Loki might have a more consistent character. I think Loki might have more consistent character development throughout this entire franchise than Thor.
Oh, absolutely. Because they show him like why he is such a trickster and why he mm-hmm. like feels the way that he does.
Yeah.
And like he can bounce back and forth because he has like the family ties to them because he was raised to them, but he can also be evil because he does feel like he was wrong in this massive way.
Yeah. I think, you know, with all the mythology in the movie and everything, it kind of gives me Viking vibes. What about you?
I mean, a little bit, but I try not to think about it.
It doesn't bother me at all.
I find Vikings are like the rednecks of that century. So I choose not to think of it that way.
I think Viking storylines are cool. Like I really like the How to Train Your Dragon movies, and they kind of have like that Viking vibe, you know?
Yeah, I enjoy those as well. But I never once have been watching that and been like, you know what I really need to do right now? Watch Thor. This has just got me on a Thor kick.
Yeah.
Separate.
I also think this movie has really good action.
Yeah, I thought it did too. I liked how the first action scene it wasn't the first scene. I don't like movies like that particularly.
Yeah.
And then
just jump into the action immediately.
Exactly. Yeah. I never really liked that.
I think The Dark World does that.
It probably does.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a little while. But this movie, like the first action scene was really good. And I liked how they provoked Thor and like got him to attack them first and start the war. Like it was just, it was good how they play off his personality and kind of introduced him in that way.
Yeah. I think my favorite action scene in this movie is when they're in New Mexico and they set up that that site, I guess you could say, around his hammer where it landed. And he tries to go pick it up and he's like taking down all those dudes the whole time. And you see Hawkeye too. That's the first time you ever get to see Hawkeye. But also when he, it's like the last guy he gets to, it's like this huge dude, you know, and he's like, "You're big. I fought bigger," or whatever. And then they just duke it out. And I don't know. I thought that was super cool. They're like fighting in the rain. It's like all muddy. And he just like beats the crap out of him. I thought that was dope.
I like that too. It kind of gives me just the vibe that he thinks he can take on anyone, which is a really like,
is Thor.
One of the reasons that I like him so much is because he has no fear going into battle.
Yeah. He's like, you know, there's so many things he says, like, where he's talking in Avengers, where you can tell he's got that mindset you're talking about. He's like, "You people are so tiny," or something like that. When they were like bickering and he's like, "You're tiny." I like that. He's got like that cocky attitude because he knows he's more powerful. But at the same time, he's like kind of insecure in a way.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, if you look at the end of Endgame, where he knows he doesn't want to be a king, and he was never like king material, I guess. He knows that he doesn't exactly fit in, you know, Asgard.
I see what you're saying, and I definitely think that became even more real for him when he saw his mom again.
Yeah.
When they traveled back in time.
Insecure might have been a stretch. I just don't know what other word to use for it, you know.
I'd say self-conscious.
Yeah,
or at least like aware that he might not be all that his father was or all that his mom and dad wanted him to be, especially since they'd like build up their relationship so much.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I like about his character the most, you know, and it kind of allows him to be a goofball, kind of like the way he is. But I think they rely on that a little too much at times, not in this movie in particular, but just at other times. But overall, like I think Thor, the original Thor film, is one of the more underrated movies in this universe. Now that we have like 23 movies, you know, the phase one, everything made from Iron Man to the Avengers, people kind of forget all that happened at this point. And I think Thor is one of the movies in out of those six that's really underrated.
I would agree with that. I would say just as a whole, the standalone movies are easy to fall by the wayside when you have movies that have like all these big bad superheroes like collaborating with each other. Like most Marvel fans will be like, my favorite movie is Endgame or Infinity War or something like that.
Those are my two favorite.
Yeah, those are my two favorites as well.
Yeah.
But like it's you need to recognize like that, the work that was put into building those films.
Right.
They wouldn't
have
happened.
It's interesting, like I know you haven't gone through and watched every one of these, you know, in order like I am, but watching starting everything from Captain America and leading up to, you know, I guess Black Widow, which in the chronological order timeline takes place after Civil War. It's just, it's interesting to go back and see how things in hindsight, how everything has changed so much, you know. Is there anything that you dislike about the first Thor movie?
This one is just leaps and bounds better than the second one. So like for me, it's like comparing them relatively, it's hard to find things as much to dislike about this movie. I just think that it is what it is for an introductory movie. Like, I think they did a good job. There's not many things that I would say, like, they could have done better.
Yeah. I think the only thing I don't have any problems with this movie. I have a good time with it. The only little minor nitpick I have is the CGI isn't always fantastic. Like, now we have Marvel movies that are getting nominated for Oscars for Best Visual Effects. Endgame was nominated the other day. Didn't win. Black Panther was nominated. Didn't win also. But back then in like 2011, when Thor came out, like I understand why it wasn't nominated. One, comic book films weren't being, I guess, represented in the Oscars. But in 2011 with this movie, I wouldn't say they should have been represented in the Oscars. It just wasn't always great. I talked about the CGI in The Incredible Hulk and it wasn't fantastic at times, but, in Thor, it's definitely better than that than The Incredible Hulk, but it's not necessarily the best. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I noticed that, especially in like the one of the very first scenes where they're going to see Heimdall and go and visit the Frost Giants. It just doesn't look as like mystifying and aesthetically pleasing as later movies do.
Yeah,
like you can definitely tell the difference in like not only like the technology, but just like how well that they were able to visualize the worlds and able to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, like, if you look at Ragnarok, Asgard looks a little different because the CGI is better.
Yeah.
And they had a bigger budget because Marvel has become more successful. I don't think the budget between those two movies was drastically different, but, you know, maybe $30 million would do something.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think if, don't quote me on this, but I want to say I looked last night and the first Thor movie had a budget of maybe $150 million. And I think Ragnarok had a $180 million budget. So
comparable, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, other than the CGI at times isn't great, other than that, I really enjoyed this movie. I think it's highly underrated.
I agree with that. I'd say the one thing that they could do, in my opinion, to make it better is include more of Heimdall. I just really love his character. And just to have him more involved in the plot or in the movie in general would just have made it a little bit better.
Yeah, they can't really do it anymore though, or they can't do that anymore now because he's dead.
Well, you didn't need to bring that up. I'm still tender.
I actually predicted that. Like, really, I went into the first time I saw Infinity War, I was like, Loki and Heimdall are gonna die within the first 5 minutes, and I made money off of that.
That's, I don't know how you even think to like predict that. I knew it picked up right where like
Ragnarok.
Because of the
that was why like scene. I didn't know spoilers or anything like that. I was just like, I bet they're gonna die, and Thor's character arc is gonna go based off of, you know, him losing literally everything. He's lost Asgard, he's lost his parents, and now he's gonna lose his best friend and his brother.
I know.
That was my guess, and I made like $5
That's a very good guess. I think I could have predicted Loki dying just because I didn't see how else they could have like left him. I think he was just going to attack Thanos. Like, there was no way he was going to let himself go down without a fight. But Heimdall kind of was just laying there, and they just like basically mercy killed him.
Yeah. I mean, they were all probably exhausted and, you know, injured somewhat. But that was a brutal scene.
I wish they would have shown the fight. Like, that would have been cool to see that.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, I think this, I think the first Thor movie, I think it's great. I think it's underrated. I've said that a few times now, but do you have any last things you'd like to say about this movie?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. I think that overall it is a very underrated movie, and I enjoyed it a lot. Like, looking back, it brought a lot of nostalgia back, just being able to go back and like see one of the first Marvel movies, especially, I think it was, might've been like the second or third one I actually saw, behind like Iron Man maybe. And, just overall, it's like, it's really good. And I like what they did with it. I kind of wish they would bring Thor's character back to who he was in this movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. But yeah, thanks for joining me today on the podcast, on this podcast episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, I don't have social media because girls scare me.
Okay. All right, so there's that. You can't follow Isaac on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, anything. He doesn't have any of it. So, yeah, he has none of that, and you can't find him anywhere. So good for you, buddy.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah. But yeah, once again, yeah, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
Be sure to tune in next week for The Avengers, and be sure to follow me on Letterboxd at McNeil Mullican, McNeilMullikin, no spaces or capital letters. Letterboxd is where I post the movies I watch and write reviews. You can also follow me on Instagram at _ McNeil, McNeilIll, followed by two more underscores. This is where you can send me your feedback, let me know what you think of Thor and what you think of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general. You can also follow the McNeil and Friends podcast on Instagram at McNeil.an.friends.podcast. Also, if you're interested in joining for an episode, send me a message through Instagram on either account, and I'd be glad to work something out with you. Lastly, you can find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Patreon and support this podcast by becoming a patron if you so desire. If you made it to the end of this podcast, congratulations, and once again, thank you for listening.